The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. How are you taking us in this morning? We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Wyatt Tomchek in for the, I'll use this word, generally, the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. What is Kelly doing today?
Wait, Kelly's not here today?
He's not here
today. He told me to hold his seat warm for like 15 minutes. He'll be right back.
What did you do with Kelly?
Son of a gun.
What is he doing?
He said he was going down to Phoenix to visit a friend.
Oh, okay.
I believe it was. I don't know if he's flying or driving.
I think he had the magic last night, so it might have been that also, where he's like, can't take this anymore.
The magic, or if you had the 76ers.
Magic, who were favorites against the Warriors last night. Warriors on a back-to-back in Florida. And after losing 7 of 11, the Warriors beat the Heat in Miami, beat the Magic last night in Orlando, and do so without Jonathan Kuminga, and then 4 minutes into the game without Draymond Green, who I'm glad all that rehabbing really took for Draymond.
It was so fun. I watched the video, and the referee was letting Draymond say his piece.
He was.
He let it go and let it go, and I can read Draymond's mouth, and he said a very couple choice words. I was like, yeah, that's going to get you the second tech and get you out of the game.
Out of there. Ejected within 4 minutes before the four-minute mark of that ball game. But the Warriors still get it. Steph puts him to sleep, 101-93. So maybe Kelly is off because of that horrific defeat for his Magic on that. Today, what a day. What a sneaky great day on the sports schedule. With the Sweet 16 beginning, of course, and of Major League Baseball's opening day on the same day, which we talked about how horrific the scheduling was for March Madness on Saturday and Sunday, how once they went to four networks over a decade ago, they completely botched the Saturday and Sunday schedule for March Madness, and it opened them up to the even worse outcome of if they had a blowout early in the day on Saturday or Sunday, then people were truly left with nothing really to watch. And as I said, until 7, at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sunday and Saturday, half the schedule hadn't even started for the round of 32 games. Well, baseball says, hold my beer. We're going to have our opening day the same day as the Sweet 16. And what they leave themselves open to was, well, if we have a rainout early, then the games won't actually start till 3 p.m. Eastern, and that's what we have today. Your Braves.
Oh, I was so excited.
Against the Phillies, which was the best pitching matchup on paper, Zach Wheeler and our guy Spencer Strider. That's a washout. The game in New York with the Mets is a washout as well. So we have 13 games. John Legaza will be here to join us, give a couple of his season longs. He has a thought on one of today's games in Major League Baseball. I am actually very pumped for baseball just to see it on the screen. Have that as part of our sports viewing days.
So I'm curious for you, and I think the reason why the scheduling for opening day kind of got screwed up because I the play-by-play for UNLV women's basketball, I noticed.
Wyatt Tomchek, everybody, UNLV women's basketball play-by-play. I should have introduced you that way.
30-3, another Mountain West Championship, NCAA tournament. Unfortunately, it ended on Saturday, but still a very positive year. But the NCAA season did get pushed back.
One week back.
So I think what MLB was, I think they released their schedule, during the season, the previous season in 2023. So I don't think they were expecting the Sweet 16 to start.
Yeah, but there's something called, planning for all possibilities. They could have had it on Tuesday. They could have had it yesterday. They could have had it this coming Monday. Again, there was a standard way to start at opening day, standard way to start the baseball season on opening day when I was a kid, where they'd have two day games, and then they'd full slate it a couple days later. And then in our adult lives, there was a Sunday night baseball game, and then they'd start in earnest the next day. But, a couple games in Korea, now this today. So you are left with more hours to listen to the Beating the Book baseball preview that I did with Jason Weingarten and Mark Borchard. Legaza coming up on today's show. Dr. Bob on College Hoops. Zachary Cohen on College Hoops. I don't know if he has any tennis. I do not. I know a lot of people are like, what, 2 days in a row without tennis? It's Chalk McChalkerson. No play for me. Again, up 24 units we are on the tennis season. So, and by the way, it's still March, so it's worked out well being very selective. Don't have to force anything. No plays today in the women's semis or the second part of the men's quarters in Miami. We did great here in Miami, second part of the Sunshine Double. We did great at Indian Wells. We're going to miss hard court season with clay on the horizon. But I did add a couple season longs in baseball, and if you missed the show yesterday, I'll go over what I already have in baseball. But a couple the two baseball bets that I made yesterday, I am like more excited about one of those than I think any of the ones I made. First of all, I have three futures plays on the San Francisco Giants. Let's just review the ones that I already have from some time ago. To make the playoffs plus 172, to win the National League at over 27-1. They're right around 22-1 right around now. Giants to win the World Series, I got it over 53-1. They're about 45-1. So the pennant and the World Series haven't really come down significantly. Playoffs has, admittedly. I did these before the Blake Snell acquisition. If you heard my initial explanation of this, I anticipated that it was a possibility that Blake Snell could end up on the Giants. Yeah, that was always one of the rumored teams, and the longer that went, the Giants great at sort of picking up value acquisitions. They did so with Matt Chapman. They did so with Jorge Soler. Jung-Hoo Lee, the acquisition who will really be at the front of the order no matter against righties or lefties. Giants going to have Lee. They're going to have Chapman, Soler, Tyro Estrada, and who's the fifth that will be against both lineups? Oh, Michael Conforto. Then they'll platoon. Today, I love the lineup against, by the way, right-handed pitchers more because those are sort of Giants classic with Mike Yastrzemski and late-night Lamont Wade in the lineup. So the Giants, and by the way, when I make bets on the Giants, people meet, oh, homer bets. Have you ever heard me make a season-long bet on the Giants on this show? Ever? Ever? The answer is no. The beauty of this is because, and it was primarily pitching for me, Logan Webb at the top, Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks, who looked good the other night, and then the acquisition of Snell. So this is a sneaky good team in the starting rotation. So the Giants, every which way but division, not betting on the division because, again, I don't think they can overcome the Dodgers in a 162-game schedule, but somebody in the National League has got to make the playoffs as a wild card, and this is a team that can, and this is a team that once in, or again, the incongruence of baseball, 162-game schedule, but once you get in the postseason, best of three, best of five, anything can happen, and so the Giants would be set up nice with that postseason rotation. So Giants playoffs, Giants NL, Giants World Series. I also made a bet that Jason Weingarten, I will take no credit for this one, Jason Weingarten all over O'Neill Cruz MVP, so I have that at 100-1. I have him at 100-1. Back to mine now, I had the two season win totals. San Diego Padres, my favorite, over at 81.5. It's now 84 or 83.5. I would not let it get over 84. But again, the thinking with the Padres is they really did address their needs, both in the starting rotation with Michael King, Dylan Cease, of course, the big pickup. They addressed their bullpen, and they still have the Bogartses and the Tatis Juniors of the world in that lineup, and of course the Manny Machado. So even with the loss of Juan Soto and Blake Snell, I love that team. All you're asking them to do is go 500. And they were a team based on base runs, and base runs meaning sequencing, and on Bill James' Pythagorean theorem that should have had a win total way over what they actually were last year, 9 games better. Cubs are my other win total. That's an over. They were at 84.5. They remain at 84.5. Season hasn't started. You can still bet that. Cubs are set up nicely. Another team that way underperformed last year based on expected win percentage from Bill James, runs produced, runs allowed, and, of course, sequencing as well. I won't get into all that. Now, I added we've already done the explanation on that a few times. I added two yesterday. One was, and this is the beauty of baseball season, is yesterday, because there wasn't a lot of tennis to handicap and not a lot of other sports going around, like you could really focus on the vast menu of season-long props that exist throughout the betting universe on baseball. And so, made a couple. One, an exacta in the NL Central. Not the one that Mark Borchard wanted and not the sort of one that Paul Sporer corroborated. They both love the Brewers. I have the Brewers in second, but I have the Cubs in first, keeping in line with my season win. So Cubs 1, Brewers 2 in the National League Central. I think that was the division that really offered the most value in terms of a 1-2 exacta. So I went Cubs 1, Brewers 2. That is 14-1. Got that at Caesars. And then my favorite of all of them, Wyatt. So I'm going through all the props yesterday, And Circa, right here at Circa Sports, we're at the D, part of the Circa Empire, the Derek Stevens Circa Empire. I'm at home. The closest Circa shop to me is Tuscany. I loved it so much, I walked over to Tuscany to do it. By the way, this is where you and I were talking off air. People are like, you walked all the way to Tuscany? I had this conversation with Parles once. I was like, yeah, I walked to Resorts World, then I walked to Tuscany. That's out of control. The distance gets so skewed on the Strip. It's really not that far. But there was a market that Circa put up, and it's still up. Most wins in March and April. Most wins in March and April. So these last few days in March, last 4 days, and then all of April. So it's about a 30-31 game stretch. And I'm sort of analyzing schedules here. And they're juxtaposed, obviously, against their numbers. I bet the Cleveland Guardians yesterday at 65-1 to have the most wins in March and April. Now, most of that analysis comes down to the fact that in March and April, the Guardians have 17 games against the A's, the White Sox, and the Red Sox. 10 of those 17 are against the A's and the White Sox, two of the bottom feeders in baseball, expected to be based on regular season win totals. 7 of those 10 against the Athletics themselves. So that's a great schedule juxtaposed against 65-1. The other sort of part of that calculus is, all right, there's always weather. If there's a postponement, you don't get those games and a chance to win. That's a double-edged sword, by the way, because the tiebreaker here is if two teams had, let's say, 18 wins, the one with fewer losses would actually win this bet. So that could be a double-edged sword. But Cleveland doesn't play a home game till April 8th. So obviously there's nothing completely scientific with weather, but in theory, the longer you go without having to play games early in the season in Cleveland, the longer you might go avoiding inclement weather. So the Guardians at 65-1, it immediately got knocked down to 45-1. This morning, it's 34-1. I still think there's some value at 34-1, but that's my favorite bet of all of them. Can't wait to see if that manifests. Zach Cohen on College Hoops next. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, play-by-play voice for UNLV women's basketball. In for the sort of slacking Kelly Bidlin today. Can we call him that? Slacking?
Yeah, no. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous.
I'm still waiting for him. He said he'd be back. Is he going to be back tomorrow?
No.
Oh, man.
Hey, no.
This is breaking news to me.
We figured he could just get out of here for a little while. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Jimmy Lopez, producer number 9. Kelly is out. On to producer number 10. No.
What is it? That. 3 months in a row I gotta do to be producer number 10?
3 month minimum to be official on the list. Yeah. Because we've had some, like, Kelly had done a lot of shows, but never, you know, a 3 month stretch.
Yep. And it's gotta be continued. I can't, like, you know, be like MLB service time.
No,
right?
Can't okay. Do it. By the way, can you name all the producers? It's a great tribute question.
Yeah.
No one can. Let's see. Palm readers. Do we know why NCAA basketball was pushed back a week? I thought the championship was the first Monday in April, not this year. Maybe Easter being March 31st this year pushed it back. Either way, MLB should have known. Might have had to do with leap year, too. I'm not sure. 3JackH3131, thanks to the crew for the preseason podcast. Amazing job, as always. Happy to have baseball back. All thanks to base winner Mark Borchard and Jason Weingarten. Again, the Beating the Book MLB preview. More hours to listen to it since the rainouts this morning. Scott, New York Mets 16. Thank you, Gil. On to dreary, rainy day on the East Coast. What we need is an energy jolt. And here comes Legesa later on the show. Yes, he's coming up. And on with the tweets. This is also from iTurbo. I don't know how to say this. Is Turbo something? Is Ange? I don't know. Any teams to focus on at the beginning of the year like we did last year? Well, again, I just made the bet. I was just talking about the Guardians, March and April in terms of most wins. That's my bet early in the year, again, at 65-1. It's still available at 34-1. And good on Circa, good on DraftKings, good on all kinds of books like Caesars as well, who have put out a plethora of different ways to bet baseball. Like, say what you will about Major League Baseball and about the season, but from a betting standpoint, pre-flop, it is about as cool as anything in terms of all the options available to you. Zach Cohen is here. We're going to try to hit on as many sports as possible with him. He is one of the guys that I always call the glue that holds this whole operation together, Adam Burke being the other. Zach, good morning to you, man. How you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. How much do you love baseball, by the way? Where does baseball rank in the Zach Cohen hierarchy of sports betting?
It's a little further back, but it's one of the sports I'm doing, so it says enough. You know, the only thing I'm really not covering is the NHL.
And the only thing you're not covering is the NHL. Okay. Zach, by the way, is our VSiN senior editor and writer. Comes to us courtesy of the progressive guest line and has one of the great Twitter handles of all time, Betting on X. Let's start with tennis, because I didn't have anything today. The business end, as we call it, of the Miami Open. What do you have today?
I have Carlos Alcaraz to win in straight sets. I got it at minus 150. It's now close to, you know, minus 190, minus 200. I probably wouldn't play it there. But I do think he's going to beat Dimitrov pretty easily. Dimitrov got him the last time they played in Shanghai, but that was in October of last year, kind of after, you know, Alcaraz won Wimbledon and started to struggle a bit. I think he was fatigued towards the end of last season, but he's come back refreshed. He has a better serve, a better return, career highs in both hold percentage and break percentage. And Dimitrov's coming off a really physical match against Hubert Hurkacz. So I think this is going to be a relatively straightforward win for Alcaraz, and hopefully we get Alcaraz Sinner too, although I did put a Medvedev future in because I do think he's going to give Sinner some problems in the semis.
Yeah, Dimitrov has great numbers, but Carlitos has even better ones. All right, so that's tennis. Before we get to college hoops and baseball, which are obviously the headlines of the day, let's get an NBA play out of the way. What do you like in the association?
I just have the Pelicans to beat the Bucks tonight. It's not really, it has nothing to do with the Bucks, you know, blowing that lead against the Lakers the other night, but I just think the Pelicans are a good home team. They've been playing well defensively since they've lost Brandon Ingram a few days ago, and the offense really hasn't dropped off at all. So I trust them to kind of get the job done against the Bucks, who I still don't trust defensively, and I do think that the Pelicans have the ability to make some threes against this team. It's not a great three-point shooting team. They shoot a high percentage, but they don't shoot a lot of threes, but they do have guys that can make them, and the Bucks do give up a lot of quality looks and behind a three-point line.
All right. What's wrong, Wyatt? Why are
we
you shaking
your head?
We
were friends, Zach. You going against my Bucks?
Oh,
that was a tough loss what was it?
That was a brutal game.
Yeah, it was a brutal game. Also, a brutal game when it's blacked out and I'm trying to watch the feed on the NBA OT and it's no sound. You're looking on a camera. I'm like, that is an interesting way of watching a basketball game.
What are you, a Braves? You're a Braves fan.
Braves,
basketball,
yep.
You're a Bucks fan.
Packers fan. Hey, look,
how did this happen?
It's a hold. We're going to run out of time with all Zach. Right, it'll take forever.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to let's start with college hoops. Sweet 16 starts tonight. 4 games. Any plays in any of these tonight?
I have Iowa State money line against Illinois. I think that I don't really believe what we've seen from Illinois in these last couple of weeks. I know how good the offense is, but I do think it's really hard to win when you have a defensive rating, you know, kind of 100th in the country. It's a team that really struggles to get stops, and I generally do like a team that plays better offense than better defense. So this is an interesting matchup where I'm kind of going against myself, but I do think the Iowa State is a good enough offensive team to get good shots against this Illinois defense, and I think that the Cyclones defense just going to be a little bit too much for the Illini. The Cyclones have allowed less than a point per possession in 10 straight games. Just a really good group on that end of the floor. And, I just think that the guard play on Iowa State is good enough to take advantage of a really weak defensive backcourt in Illinois.
Who's your Final Four right now? As you look at the brackets, who do you think's in the Final Four?
Man, I guess I'd go UConn, Arizona. I told you Duke before the tournament. I'll stick with it.
Yeah.
And I'll say Purdue.
One of those who, like, whatever I said before the tournament, I must continue with that just to...
I guess when they're still in and haven't given me a reason to turn on him, I'll go with him. I think Duke has looked really good so far.
Okay. Let us shift to Major League Baseball. Opening day. Did you make a play on a side, a total? Do you make a prop play today?
So I'm sticking to player props this season. We have Adam Burke doing the sides and totals. I'm on the props. I just have Ketel Marte over 2.5 runs, hits, and RBIs. This is just a really unique blend of having the batter versus pitcher stats and the platoon stats. Marte batted .313 with 15 extra base hits, 5 homers, and 12 RBIs against lefties last year. Going against Kyle Freeland, who he's 15-for-43 against with a ton of extra base hits. I don't think you see this stuff very often. And then when you do, it's usually with a player that only hits one side well. Marte's a switch hitter. So even when Kyle Freeland does... does get pulled, he's still going to be valuable at the plate. So I do think you're going to see a big day at the plate from Marte.
Yeah, Diamondbacks hosting the Rockies right up against March Madness, the last of the starts today in Major League Baseball. Did you make any season-long plays in baseball, by the way?
I have the Orioles to win the World Series. I just think that was the best price out of the chalkier teams. I think the Orioles have, you know, probably one of the most talented lineups in baseball, but also, you know, a really good pitching staff now with Corbin Burns coming in. I think this is a team that can very well win the World Series this year. I think they've only improved from last year. There were some long shots that I was looking at. Like, I think I'm with you, and I like the Giants quite a bit, and I do like the Minnesota Twins. So there's a few teams that I kind of sprinkle the board with.
No season-long props or anything else? No regular season win totals?
No, the only other thing I have is Matt Olson to win MVP. I just think that he's another guy that racks up numbers in a really good offense, and I think you're getting a better price on him than you're getting with an Acuna Jr. and some of the other guys from the Dodgers. So I thought that Matt Olson is just a guy that I think is, by the end of his career, I'd be surprised if he doesn't win an MVP. Just kind of with the way he flirts with 50 RBIs, you know, over 100, sorry, 50 homers, over 100 RBIs, solid fielder, and just, yeah, and a great team.
What number did you get on him?
I got 14-1, I think. I feel like that was what it was.
All right, 14-1. So, and where is, and getting back to my question about baseball and your hierarchy, what is your, if in terms of your betting, because we just talked about four sports here really quickly, what do you consider your number one and two?
Tennis and NBA are my one and two. I think the tennis I have the most success with by far, having a really good Miami Open so far, about, you know, kind of put Indian Wells to bed. NBA is definitely my favorite sport, so that's probably where I am at second. But, you know, basketball is going to be done soon. Baseball is going to have to take over for it.
Yeah, you did not have a good Indian Wells? Is that what you just said right there? No?
I had a terrible Indian Wells. I just could not figure it out at all. I went down into the negative, back in the green now. Yeah, it was a brutal tournament for me.
Can you parse out in tennis? Do you do better on hard courts, clay, or grass? Do you parse it out that way at all? Have you noticed over time?
I think I'm oddly better on clay. I don't know why, and I think that's a lot of people have trouble handicapping it. I had a really bad Monte Carlo last year, but other than that, I was really good on clay, and I think that I'm very much looking forward to it. Looking forward to Monte Carlo, too, for a redemption story.
There we go. Clay about to happen. Zach's time of year. So, again, to review Zach Cohen's bets here, Alcaraz to win in straight sets today at the Miami quarters, pardon me, against Grigor Dimitrov. That is quarters or semis today? Quarters, right?
Quarters, yeah.
Quarters, yeah. Second
half. Very up in the semis.
Yeah. Pelicans money line today in their ball game. Iowa State in on the money line against Illinois in the Sweet 16. And then Ketel Marte over 1.5 in terms of his hits plus runs plus RBIs. Shop around for those. It's two now? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's 2.5. I sent the wrong text away.
Oh, 2.5. Pardon me. 2.5. So over 2.5. Pardon me. Yep. Over 2.5 on that. Yeah, over 1.5 did seem a little low. Zach, appreciate it. Good luck with all those bets across four sports, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Good luck today.
Zach Cohen, everybody, at Betting on X. Nice Twitter handle from Zach. John Legesa. Boy, let's hope he brings some energy to the table, this Legesa guy. He's often very mellow. So on the other side, his baseball thoughts season long. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. There's only 2 days left to sign up on a Visa Pro annual subscription and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get Visa Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which Visa expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. Remember, this offer expires after Friday. After tomorrow, though, so sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG. Wyatt had one job. It wasn't on it. Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe.
Whoa. What's the name? We don't do...
You're supposed to pound in on ANG right at that point.
I'm sorry. I was not.
Okay. It's all right.
See, Kelly told me I was only filling in for a segment.
Yeah, no, I understand. You're forgiven. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always instant offense when this guy comes on the show. And we are thrilled to see him. And that means baseball season is upon us. He is a MLB and NFL writer over there at The Athletic. He's also doing some other exciting things, which he's going to tell us about here momentarily. It's the great John Legesa, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Johnny?
We are back! We are so back! We are back, baby! Have we ever been more back? We have never been so back. We're so back, we might end up going forwards.
man. Love it. Thank you so much. Yes. New show starts today, 6 p.m. Obviously, we're bringing the fastball. You know that, man. Right? Come on. So 6 p.m., we're going to go live on Mayo Media Net on YouTube. Just check me out on Twitter at John Legeza, JohnLegeza. I got my free pitching data up right now, man. Come on. It is the most wonderful time of the year, man. Let's get it. Make some money for these people. Come on.
All right. Let me ask you, are you one of these guys that are so locked into baseball that you don't even pay attention to March Madness? Like, does it even exist to you?
No, I used to love it as a kid. Don't get me wrong, working in New York City, if you've ever worked in New York City on St. Patrick's Day, it is one of the coolest days of the entire year. People doing cakes and eggs, getting ready for it. So I love the event, and I love the gambling part of it, but I was never really into it now. Yeah, every time I have a kid, I have to give up a favorite sport. So, you know, that's how that goes.
How many do you have, John? How many?
Well, it's two, man, but I'm still into baseball. Oh, gosh, I used to love Notre Dame football. I was the original Rudy. Before there was Rudy, it was me.
Wrap it up, John. You're running out of sports. All right, here's the deal. Let's start with your season longs. I was just talking about earlier on the show how I had some season longs. Yesterday, I even added two more. Still, you know, I'm actually more pumped about this little March-April one that I just made on the Guardians. It's a long shot to win. But there's thinking behind it. I think they posted up a bad number. So I took the Guardians March-April to have the most wins, 65-1. And just there's something about baseball season longs or even partial seasons that excite me in a way that I can sort of nerd out on them. Let's talk about a couple of yours. Where would you like to start? You have a couple season-long prop bets you made.
Yes, first one, we're going to go big money because, again, you know, just because the games are starting, right now is actually my favorite time to bet futures. We have as much information as we're going to have, and I don't feel like the market is properly corrected because everyone is now worrying about the micro of today where, I'm not saying I don't want to bet on today's games, but I would like to get a week worth of data, get the algorithm going. It gets smarter as it gets data, and look at these markets. So first up, man, the freak in a room full of freaks. Give me O'Neal Cruz to lead the major leagues in home runs. When I first posted this, it was like 110-1. It's now at 60-1. You get it at least at 50-1. And I love it, man. You just look at this guy, 6'7", 220. He's only 25 years old. He only has 400 plate appearances in his career, 410 to be exact. And he has the hardest hit ball of all time. If you've ever seen this kid hit nukes, you don't worry about it clearing the wall. You worry about it clearing, like, the perimeter. You know what I mean? Like, the actual real estate property. He's absolutely freakish. Last season was lost to an injury. The thing that I was looking for that we got because it was an ankle gill was he stole a base. Hey, listen, spring training stats and $2. Get your cup of coffee over here. But, you know, speed and running can be predictive. At least you're healthy, right? If the guy was limping around, he wouldn't be stealing bases. And he led the majors in spring training home runs. Again, not to overweight that, but we know the talent is there. We know the power is there. He looks like he's pretty locked in. This number is broken. And if he hits three bombs this first week, he's going to be like 8-1 by the, you know, before you know it.
Yeah, Jason Weingarten, who's a regular on this show and is a baseball savant.
I love spread. Man.
Yeah, he was all over O'Neal Cruz, and I sort of resisted. I'm like, well, you know, I mean, I get it, you got it, but I'm not that excited. And then O'Neal Cruz, like the Statcast numbers just kept coming in over and over in the spring, and finally I'm like, all right, I'll play it. Jeez, amazing. And I think, by the way, and I always say this again because the casual fan might get this wrong. Ellie De La Cruz of the Reds had this unbelievable breakout to begin this past season as well when he first got into the Reds lineup. But the previous year, we were saying some of the same things about O'Neal Cruz. So I don't want people to get that confused. The average American may get that confused. O'Neal Cruz is who we're talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates. So you have him to hit the most home runs, 60-1. Okay.
Man, these guys are incredible, right, Gil? Either one of those guys
looks
like they could get off the bus and, you know, get you a first down right now in the NFL.
Absolutely. Ellie De La Cruz, like, four strides to first base.
Holy moly,
yeah.
Man.
It's amazing.
And they're incredibly fast with the best arms. It's really freakish. Yeah, it's cartoonish.
O'Neal Cruz, 6'7". Like, it's just, what are we watching here?
I know, he looks like he's swinging a toothpick.
Yeah. All right, you have another one, season-long prop bet. What do you like?
All right, one more, another long money odd, and I just think the price is wrong. So it's Nico Hoerner, Chicago Cubs. We're looking for the league lead in stolen bases. Right now I saw this live. Again, it was like 65, but now it's still 40-1. Let's see if we can make a lot of sense of that number, which I think there is. So he was one of only six players to get to 40 steals. We've seen this now, new evolution with the rule change. We all know it's an algorithmic game. It's a stopwatch game. Certain players are going to beat most every pop time, and they have the skill to run. Boom, there you go. Which means with the, you know, good on-base percentage and the proper runouts, meaning no one in front of him, you're leading off and all that stuff, he has the ability to be that leader, get to 50, get to 60. Second-best contact hitter in the league beyond only Luis Arraez, 94% in-zone contact. Like, you really can't get the ball by him with the high line drive rate. We don't have to worry about him hitting any home runs. So we love that, though, because he's constantly going to be on base. He's leading off every day. And he only played 150 games last year. I know, listen, yes, that's a lot of games. When you're playing for the season long, he's an everyday guy and a leadoff guy. If we get a good, healthy run out again, and he gets to 155 or 158, there's a good chance that he gets to 60 bags and we get a win on this.
All right, Nico Hoerner, who plays for the Chicago Cubs, it should be pointed out. Again, we don't want to, I don't want to make the same assumption that we do about the NFL, that people know who we're talking about. So Nico Hoerner, who plays for the Chicago Cubs, that is who John is playing for most stolen bases for the season. All right, 13 games. By the way, before we get to that, so you have nothing like in terms of a team that you bet in terms of a future or season wins or anything like that? You stayed away from all those markets?
Okay, no, not outright. If people know me, man, I got the long pockets and the short arms. I just don't really believe in hanging minus 110 out there for 6 months. I could beat that at any given time. I could beat that with interest or trading, to be honest. So I generally do stay away from win-loss totals. However, when you identify market inefficiencies, which I think we have, we started to mention the Pirates. On the other side, I also like the Royals. No, so I'm lined up for some of that stuff. I like, you know, Royals to make the playoffs is that nice number. Royals to win a very beatable Central Division. In fact, I'd say that goes for both teams, right? Both of the Central Divisions are, they're kind of open. And you mentioned another team, Cleveland is that type where if you get the proper pitching and just enough hitting against bad teams, we know on an everyday basis, they're going to get listed at minus 115 almost every day, a good run out, and you're going to win. Look at the Padres last year. They didn't slam the door in all the close games. All of a sudden, they're terrible. If the pendulum swings the other way for one of these Central teams, Pirates or Royals, they easily make the playoffs and maybe win the division.
Yeah, I'm all over the Padres over. That was my favorite. A lot of that had to do with their horrific record in one-run games, specifically in extra innings. It was just off the charts bad. All right, 13 games after the couple rainouts, a couple postponements already from yesterday, today, 13 games. What do you have on today's slate? What did you bet?
All right, I've kind of been waiting to run the algo again. If anyone is unfamiliar, I've been like a fount of information. Follow me on Twitter, StreamLines, and everything. I'm waiting for the final lineup decisions because today is a bit wonky. But there was one that stuck out. I mean, gas can plus bandbox usually equals double-digit runs. Let's go to Cincinnati. It's listed at 9. I even saw it at plus money in some spots. So if we get the even 9, one, we love the back door. 4-4 backdoor, right? Everybody, if you get the 4-4, you're guaranteed the ninth run, and then you're good to go at least. So we only need a 4-4 outrun. It's Josiah Gray and Frankie Montas. I mean, yeah, this is home run heaven here, so you could be looking for some offense totally. Neither one of these pitchers have been able to get the ball high enough in the zone, right out of the zone, I should say, to keep the ball in the park. So I'm expecting home runs in Cincinnati today.
Yeah, I was saying this yesterday on the show with Will Hill. Like, it's just not, it's not aces abound up and down the slate today either, right? Like, there's a lot of teams where you're like, this is their opening day starter. Not so
yeah,
hot.
There's a few of those. Alex Wood is starting on opening day in the year of our Lord 2024.
Hey, John, listen, this was great. I just have, you know, one note. Bring the energy up next time. That's my only note, again, on the segment.
It's
my only note.
No, it's the lack of coffee, for sure. It's a lack of caffeine. I'll bring my drum set next time. We'll make some real
music. Bring your drum set. That's right. John Legheza, everybody.
Thank you so much, my man.
And I miss you, too. John Legheza, if you want to spell his last name phonetically. L-A-G-H-E-Z-Z-A. MLB writer for The Athletic. And he's doing big things. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
No, that was great.
Coming back, Dr. Bob on College Hoops next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Do not wait, though. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. Quite the deal over at DraftKings. Yes, sir. Were you about to jump in?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, do I have to do A and G? The letter A, the letter N, the
not,
letter G.
Not for that one.
Not for that one. All right.
Well, we'll get this done. We got 2 hours. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite. All at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. That is Wyatt Tomchak in for the vacationing. Kelly Bidlin. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt on vacationing. It's Gil Alexander. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is a pioneer in sports betting, using predictive algorithms to predict the outcomes of sporting events. He was a stats major at Cal, and it was at that point in his life where he was like, you know what? I am going to have a life of sports. That is what I'm going to do. It's the great Dr. Bob at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing all right. Things have slowed down a little bit now that we're down to 16 teams. So. Yeah.
What do you do after college basketball season? Do you take a vacation? You take a break?
Yeah, you know, I gave up the NBA 3 years ago because I just hated waiting around all day to see if players are going to play or not. I mean, in the day of resting players and load management, I just got so tired of waiting around for who's going to play and who's not that it's just wasting my days. So I quit the NBA 3 years ago, and I'm playing tennis, and they play a little golf, and lunches with my wife.
Well, lunches with my wife. That's very nice.
Starting in April.
Well, tell the wife I said hello. Yeah, I want to say something else about you before we get into the four games tonight. That for those who know you and those who have listened to this show and hearing you for all these years, if they've been paying attention, they know that you have sort of a hierarchy of plays: 3-star, 2-star, 1-star, and then you give strong opinions. And if it doesn't qualify for any of those, it's not even worth noting. But one of the things that I wanted to say is that you used to do a lot of 3-stars, and I have noticed that those have largely gone by the wayside. I'm not just talking basketball, I'm talking football too. So I actually wanted to give you a shout on that, because that might seem like a minor thing to people. But I don't know if you know this, Bob, but the pick industry is not one with great reputation, but you are one of these folks who you're not just going to say something is a big 3-star play if it ain't. And so I guess the question that follows is, so first of all, nod to you on that, a little chin jerk up in respect for that. Is it because the edges just aren't there anymore, generally speaking?
Yeah, you know, I used to have 5-stars, and my lifetime record on football 5-stars is 20-1. And I stopped releasing it. Just, and those were like, back then you could have a play that was 65% because what I was doing was so much better than what the market was doing. I'm talking about back in the 90s. And probably the last 5-star I had was maybe 2000 or something like that. But yeah, now I do have 3-stars in football. Not that often. I'd say about maybe only 20% of the play, you know, maybe less than that are 3-stars now. It's just, yeah, the market has gotten to a point where it's just hard to have an edge that is a, you know, 62% bet or whatever that would signify a triple unit play. You just, you know, to say you have a 62% bet is a little bit obnoxious now. I mean, given, you know, how good the market is in general. I mean, we're coming off a great NFL season and you know, another good football season overall. But still, I don't feel like I have like a 62% edge almost in any game anymore. And that would be a 3-star level. So it's just 2-stars and 1-stars now. And in basketball, it's just mostly 1-stars because I have 1,000 plays a year. And I just, it's money management sort of thing. It's like, I don't want people overbetting when you have 1,000 plays in the course of a season.
All right. Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things. And, basketball's been good again, but I just, still, I don't want
to. Yeah, I just wanted to bring that. I wanted to bring that up about you. Let us do these chronologically by tip off tonight. You're kind enough to come back tomorrow to talk about tomorrow's four games. But let's talk about tonight's in the East and West region. We'll do them again by tip off. First, Clemson at Arizona. Maybe we start with another 2 blowout games tonight. We'll see how you feel about it. Clemson at Arizona. These are the 2 biggest spreads of the Sweet 16. Arizona by 7 right now over the Tigers of Clemson out of the ACC. How do you feel about this one?
Yeah, this is the game I have the least to talk about. I was on Clemson in round 1 as the best bet. I had them as an opinion in the second round, which is like a half unit bet. So they've done well for me. I just don't. Now I think the line has caught up. I make the line 7. The line is 7. I don't really see matchup advantages either way. So I just think this is one of those games that, you know, Arizona being closer to home is an edge, and that's part, you know, that's a little bit of an edge for Arizona being a little bit closer to home. Less travel helps a little bit. But this is a game that I would pass.
Okay.
So I don't really have much to say, and let's not waste our time talking about a game.
Let's not. Let's not. Half an hour later, we go from the West to the East Regional. The 1-5 game between UConn and San Diego State. UConn, a freight train, not only all season, but certainly stepped it up in the first and second round, the round of 64 and round of 32 of this tournament. This is up to 11.5 now, Bob.
Yeah, that's partly because I released it at minus 10 on Monday. I gave up Connecticut as the best bet on Monday at minus 10. You know, now 11.5, and I still think there's value here. I mean, obviously, it's a rematch of last year's championship game. It was UConn won by 17. Connecticut is even better this year. San Diego State, not quite as good. Connecticut is better. They're probably rated as the top team by almost everybody, but they're even better than their season rating. Late December, freshman wing Stephon Castle took over for Solomon Ball in the starting lineup. Ball is the worst player in the rotation. Castle is a good young player, and when they made that switch, Connecticut got better. Around that time, the big man, Donovan Klingon, was out for some games as well, and then he came back and came off the bench for a couple games. They won those games anyway. But in the games that both Castle and Klingon had started, the Huskies are 18-1 straight up, 16-4 against the spread when both those guys start. So that's certainly, you know, with everyone playing and with their current lineup, Connecticut is about 3 points better than their season rating, which is already elite. So I think Connecticut is a very, very good team. Now you look at San Diego State, underperforming a little bit this year. They have not been as good against better competition. When favored by 4 or less or getting points, so against better teams, they are 2-10 against the spread this season, 12-10 when favored by 5 or more. So first two games, they had fairly easy opponents relatively, and now they face somebody that I don't think they can hang with. So, and also, the Huskies, 85 miles from campus, San Diego State traveling 3,000 miles for this game, a couple time zones,
yeah.
Generally not good.
Yeah.
So I think the line should be in the range of 14. So I still see value on Connecticut, even at minus 11.5, and I'd still bet it for half a unit up to 12.
Wow. Okay. Half a unit up to 12. We're at 11.5 right now. Bob has it at 14. Let's go back to the West region. Alabama, North Carolina. Carolina favored by 4.5 now. This continues to creep up a little.
Yeah. I don't know if I talked about this on your show or not, but this Alabama is just one of those teams that last year they had a really good athletic team, and they were, but this year they kind of filled some spots with mid-major talent with good offensive skills. So they've got a lot of guys that can really score the ball, but those mid-major talent guys aren't as good defensively against major conference. It's really showed up. So this year, when Alabama is facing a team ranked in the top 40 in the nation in compensated offensive points per possession or adjusted offensive efficiency or whatever you want to call it on KenPom, I do my own, but when they're facing a top 40 team in the nation on offense that is a major conference team, they are 3-11 straight up, 3-11 against the spread against those teams because they can't match up against talented offensive teams from major conferences. Against everybody else, they're 20-0 straight up and 16-4 against the number, which is what they had the first two rounds against Charleston and Grand Canyon, mid-major teams that they could just overwhelm offensively and be good enough defensively matching up with. But against major conference teams that are good offensively, Alabama has not been able to match up. I think the line is pretty fair. I'd make it 4.6. The line is now 4.5 probably. I gave it out as an opinion at minus 4 yesterday. But I still would rather have North Carolina here just because Alabama just has not been able to match up with talented teams that are good on offense.
All right, Illinois and Iowa State. We only have 40 seconds here, Bob. Iowa State favored by 1.5.
Yeah, I like Illinois here. I released that +2 as an opinion, a half unit play at +2. Be a lean at +1.5 now. My ratings basically favor, make it about half a point. Iowa State by half a point. Illinois has done relatively better against good defensive teams. They have a couple guys in Terrence Shannon and Marcus Demas who can break down teams that play such good team defense and they're good at isolation ball. So I think Shannon and Demas in isolation, that's why they've been able to play relatively better against good defensive teams, is because those two guys can make something happen even when the offensive set breaks down. So I think it's a pretty good matchup, and I there's line value on Illinois. So I'd have Illinois.
Okay. Dr. Bob, everybody. He'll be back for tomorrow's four games in the Sweet 16 as well. Bob, thank you, sir. Enjoy the games. Good luck, guys, on the bets.
Good luck today. All right.
Dr. Bob at drbobsports.com, at drbobsports, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You know what that means. Crack is next. Thursday, Unscripted with Crackman Bill Krackenberger. What did I just call him? Bill Krackenberger, at Bill Crackman with a K. That is next, exclusively on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.